Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Physical Media Isn't Dead. It just smells funny. Hello, everybody. It's nice to see you again, or hear you. Or experience you? I don't know. I'm not on that end of this podcast. Anyway, thank you for joining me for another episode of this. As you probably can tell by the runtime of this episode, I've decided to move forward with breaking these physical media reviews up into two parts. And if you're here, then you know that these are just pretty much going to be on the IUCinema blog from now on. I've decided to move them off of the podcast unless it's for very special occasions, and it's just a lot of work to edit probably what starts as about 90 minutes of audio and into hopefully sometimes under an hour of audio. So thank you for bearing with me in this transition, as with all transitions in my life, but I think it's for the best. So what we have for you is a very condensed audio portion of this podcast with the rest of the reviews for these two distributors on the IUCinema blog, as you are probably seeing right now. But episode will focus on the titles for March for Criterion and Kino Lorber, two of our favorites, as all of these are our favorites. And we're going to focus on what were my two favorite titles from each of these distributors. I was lucky enough to get two Criterion titles this month. That's not always the case. We will be talking about Round Midnight and David Cronenberg's Eastern Promises. So we will start there with David Cronenberg's 2007 film, Eastern Promises. Visionary filmmaker David Cronenberg and muse Viggo Mortensen follow up a history of violence with another acclaimed joint effort, the mesmerizing Eastern Promises. Mortensen delivers an Oscar-nominated performance as Nikolai, a ruthless and mysterious Russian who has ties to one of the most dangerous crime families in London. His carefully maintained existence is jarred when he crosses paths with Anna, played by Naomi Watts, a midwife who has come across potentially damaging evidence against the family. Their unusual relationship sets off an unstoppable chain of deceit, death, and retribution. Brilliantly written by Stephen Knight, with terrific supporting turns by Vincent Cassell and Armin Mueller-Stahl, this brooding and provocative masterpiece is no ordinary crime thriller, just as Cronenberg is no ordinary director, as Roger Ebert once put, with top-notch cinematography by Peter Sashitsky. Yes, this is the 2007 film by David Cronenberg, which to me marks this very specific period in his filmography, which I call his crime and espionage period. It's mostly just two films. Maybe someone would actually debate if there are some other films that fit into that canon. David Cronenberg, delightfully a director that, even though mostly known for his body horror things, and he's going to be returning to body horror with his latest film, he actually has had these like nice little both succinct and long periods in his career where he's experimented with different aspects or interests of his. And A History of Violence and Eastern Promises, the two Viggo Mortensen kind of crime and espionage pictures of the mid-aughts, just as like this neat and tidy little period that I guess I would say that is at kind of which point I kind of come into David Cronenberg. I would discover David Cronenberg sometime in college, so around like 2008, and these were pretty commercial films for the time for a director that I would say hadn't been commercial probably in some time. But about the content of the film itself is that, yes, this is a tight 100-minute crime saga. It's about Viggo Mortensen, which I won't give anything away about the plot of the movie, but Viggo Mortensen is pretty much a hired hand for a Russian crime family, and he is proficient at his job. He knows exactly what to do when you dispose of a body, when you kill a person, when you need to leave a clean trace. He poses as a driver for this crime family. And that runs up against Naomi Watts, who is a nurse. And beginning of the film opens up with a sex worker who has essentially tried to give themselves an abortion to also maybe kind of end their life. And they save the baby, but the sex worker sadly passes away. And Naomi Watts finds a journal that is integral to this crime family's operation. And it is up to Viggo Mortensen to get this journal from her to cover their tracks. And that's just honestly the tip of the iceberg. It's a very tense setup and premise for what kind of becomes a movie about two unlikely forces. Like, I wouldn't call it like a romance, but like two unlikely forces kind of dealing with, you know, their own Russian heritage and prejudice and the lie, the American dream, all things that I love crime films to explore, because it's all a big pressure cooker of those things in America anyway. And, you know, immigrants coming here, I am a big fan. And what makes this movie so enthralling for me is that Stephen Knight, who is a screenwriter, let's say kind of specializes in these like brooding, kind of low key, but very intense crime and character pieces. I would say I've seen a lot of his films. I would say the two that I like the most are Dirty Pretty Things and the film Lock, starring Tom Hardy, the one person movie that takes place inside of a car of him just making phone calls. It's a great screenplay. I mean, that movie is the strength of its screenplay and its lead actor. And so Stephen Knight, I know hit and miss for some people, but this is kind of a showcase for him. It also has that great David Cronenberg palette over it, I would say, where it's a lot of like medium shots and everything's like a little gray and a little drab, but there's still like this intensity to it. The cinematographer Paul Sushitsky, great at capturing that, worked with David Cronenberg on Dead Ringers. Obviously, this film is kind of famous for a scene that happens near the tail end of it. And if you have not seen this movie, please, unless you are triggered by, I will say, extreme violence, I would say just let it unfold as it unfolds. This is probably, besides, you know, doing some stellar work, because Viggo Mortensen is one of those actors who's great at embodying things. Besides that stellar work, I would say this is probably, this scene is what got him the Oscar nomination in 2008. It's an all-time scene in cinema history, if not of just of the aughts. But Naomi Watts gives a very soulful performance as someone struggling with the prejudice of her mom's new Russian partner, and she has her own Russian heritage, and she's kind of dealing with this, you know, aborted child and her own past woes of failed motherhood. Like I said, it's a very soulful movie. I would say both the movies that I talk about today will be very soulful movies. As far as anything else about the film, Vincent Cassell, always a pleasure to see in a movie. Also, it's probably just my very American point of view. I love it when someone who I associate as having a very thick regional accent doing a different very thick regional accent. And Vincent Cassell is like, to me, a quintessential Frenchman. And so him doing a Russian accent is chef's kiss. I love it. Also, Vincent Cassell playing a very interesting character, dealing with their own sexuality and their father's unacceptance of that sexuality. It's an unfolding part of the movie. It gets a little empathetic and a little wrought at parts, but I think David Cronenberg's one of those. It's interesting to say this. David Cronenberg, very much, I would say, a director who has a strong relationship with people who like queer canon of films. Although it's interesting to say that officially not a queer director, but unofficially, a lot of queer film commentators love David Cronenberg films. There's that crossover between horror and the queer community. So if you are at all interested in that, this comes with a second disc, because this is a 4K Blu-ray of the film. So it comes with a second disc, which is just the normal high definition Blu-ray of the film. It also comes with a new interview with screenwriter Stephen Knight, a featurette called Secrets and Stories with director David Cronenberg, another featurette called Marked for Life, another featurette with David Cronenberg, two guys walk into a bathhouse, another featurette with David Cronenberg, Watts on Wheels, a great name for a featurette with Naomi Watts, as well as two theatrical trailers, and then optional English subtitles and all those great things, which I did watch with it on, because sometimes when you watch a movie where people are doing accents, they will miss, you might miss some things. So I tend to watch those things with subtitles on if I can. Great, very clear subtitles. So you can find Eastern Promises on 4K and standard Blu-ray on Kino Lorber. And for my final title of the month and my pick of the month specifically from Criterion, we have Bertrand Tavernier's 1986 film, Round Midnight. Round Midnight is a love letter from director Bertrand Tavernier to the heyday of bebop and the black American musicians who found refuge in the smoky underground jazz clubs of 1950s Paris. In a great Oscar-nominated fusion of performer and character, legendary saxophonist Dexter Gordon plays Dale Turner, a brilliant New York jazz veteran whose music aches with beauty, but whose life is ravaged by addiction. Searching for a fresh start in Paris, Turner strikes up an unlikely friendship with a struggling single father and ardent jazz fan played by Francois Cluzet, who finds his life transformed as he attempts to help the self-destructive musician. Herbie Hancock's evocative Oscar-winning score sets the mood for this definitive jazz film, a bittersweet opus that glows with lived-in, soulful authenticity. This is a film that I had watched years ago, and it was kind of before I'd gotten into movies, because as I've kind of mentioned before on this podcast and other places, I actually was classically trained as a jazz musician, which is kind of an oxymoron, but you know what I mean. meaning I went to Jacob School of Music, had the opportunity and honor to study with David Baker, as well as the other great faculty at Jacobs, and jazz is like a huge important part of my life. It's still probably the music I listen to most on a daily basis. I still obsess over the narratives and the theory of it all, and like its place in American history, especially as something that as we're so far into the 21st century, I would say that its influence is more a curio, more so than a driving force, as it was in the 20th century. But this was always that film that I would hear about, as, you know, you hear about the films that have jazz musicians in them, and you hear about, hey, Miles Davis has a cameo in Scrooged. And this was the film where it's like, there's a jazz film that not only has a ton of your favorite musicians in it in speaking roles, as well as lots of musical performances from those musicians in various configurations, it also has a lead performance from Dexter Gordon and a supporting performance from Herbie Hancock, as well as a score from Herbie Hancock. And Dexter Gordon was nominated for an Oscar for this film. So it obviously holds a very special place in my heart. But when I watched it the first time so many years ago, I think I was more expecting like a concert film and something a little bit more like raucous. The folly of a young person like expecting something that they had no reason to expect. And I didn't appreciate at the time. I knew it was a good movie. Like, I was like, this has the scent of a good movie, but maybe I should revisit this later. And lo and behold, visiting it, you know, maybe 10 plus years later, it is quite possibly one of my favorite films of all time. There's a poetry to this movie. There's a part at the beginning of this movie when Dex is trying to, is deciding that they're going to leave the States and go over and play in Paris, and people are asking him why. And he says, like, there's no cold eyes in Paris. And like, ugh, resonates with me so much as someone who seeks out to be seen, but, you know, with a warmth and an inviting stare. It's poetry, and there's many lines like that in the movie. And this is, like, loosely based off... Well, not loosely, I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I should probably do more research into that. But, like, it's kind of based off of the life of, like, Bud Powell and some other people. Just, you have these, like, very well shot and directed, like, very motivated camera, very well shot, knows exactly when to put a music performance, knows exactly who should say what things in the movie, because there's a lot of jazz musicians in this movie. These are not professional actors. But Bertrand Tavernier knows exactly, like, what speed some people work at, when to give them things, when to use their personality, when to have them subvert their personality. I love this movie so much. It's just like 2 hours and 11 minutes of like this melancholy little portrait of, you know, a story in jazz that's told a lot of someone who's brilliant. Like I said, it's a love letter to bebop, one of the greatest musical genres of all time. The joy that it brings so many people and brought so many people, and just how tragic so many of those people's lives were. And that dichotomy, that's jazz music. Like, you, it's always the clashing of those two things, and that's what kind of makes the music beautiful for me. And to speak nothing of Dexter Gordon's performances in this, I love an unpolished performance that, like, obviously is using a lot of like that person's natural charisma. Like, obviously Dexter Gordon, not an actor, but it's the most authentic you can get. Like, I actually wouldn't want this to be a studied performance. Like, on the podcast Blank Check, they talk about this, like, Putters and Murmurs Award. He is speaking in a low, raspy, kind of growly voice. But every word he says, like, even if it's not delivered with the studiedness of someone who's a professional actor, there's a complete believability and there's a lot of texture to it. And there is no wonder, there's no doubt in my mind that he should not have been nominated for an Oscar for this movie. Like I said, Putters and Murmurs, Lifetime Achievement Award for Dexter Gordon for me, though. One of my favorites. And then also, if you're just someone who just likes music, it is a steady stream of very great jazz performances. It's so nice to, like, I've obviously watched Dexter Gordon performances on YouTube, and there's, like, those Jazz Masters DVDs that were really popular in the aughts. And it's just, like, nice to watch late-era Dexter Gordon where, like, the man already knew how to, like, lay back in a song. And in this, like, he's at a point in his playing where you're like, oh, he's, like, a half a beat behind, but it's still working. And, like, that tension actually feels good, especially when, like, sometimes he'll use it to his advantage and, like, snap it back into place. Now I'm just talking about music stuff. And then in addition to that, you get some, like, great little cameos, not from just jazz musicians, from my great uncle Marty shows up at some point in this movie in an acting role. I love a Martin Scorsese acting role. Talk about a person who knows what their natural charisma is this, like, very, like, nervous energy to it. I love it. Plays the manager of a jazz club that eventually sways Dex back to the United States. And then, yeah, you cannot deny why Herbie Hancock would win a Oscar for Best Original Score. It's phenomenal. So, if you are all interested, and I know I say that a lot to get into the special features, but this would probably be my pick of the month for every distributor anyway. It has the right special features with it. It's the right kind of release. The essay by Mark Anthony Neal is fantastic. I hope that this will start playing in rep theaters across the country, especially in conjunction with any sort of, like, jazz events happening across the country. But yes, this comes with an interview with jazz and cultural critic Gary Giddens, a new conversation with music producer Michael Kuskuna and author Maxine Gordon, widow of musician Dexter Gordon, Before Midnight, a 1986 behind-the-scenes documentary with Jean Achache, panel discussion from 2014 featuring Kuskuna, Maxine Gordon, director Bertrand Tavernier, and jazz scholar John Swed, and moderated by jazz critic and broadcaster Mark Ruffin. There's a performance from 1969 of Fried Bananas from Dexter Gordon, as well as I put on with Eastern Promises, because eventually I'm like, would like to know what Dex is saying. English subtitle translation, English subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing, as well as a great cover by F. Ron Miller. So, do yourself a favor, take a chance. I know jazz isn't for everybody. I know kind of slow, sensual movies aren't for everybody. This came to me at a point when I needed it, and so I hope it could help you if you are struggling through anything. And I don't know, poetry is good for the soul sometimes. So you can find Round Midnight on the Criterion Collection, and that will do it for me this week on Physical Media's In Debt, It Just Smells Funny. I will be back next week with titles from Fun City Editions and Imprint Films, and quite possibly Arrow Films. I'm kind of still waiting on one, but if you have the money, check these titles out. And that's going to do it for me this month. I will see you at the movies. Good night.